Sri Chaitanya Manuvisam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Datati Savanantikam Manchakopasurubhyascha Vipasindhu Vaivacha Patitanam Brahmanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. We've been hearing from the ninth chapter of the seventh canto, where Prahlad is pacifying the Lord Nrisingadeva, who was so angry because Hiranyakashipu had threatened his devotee, Lord Nrisingadeva's devotee Prahlad. And the demigod sent Prahlad forward to pacify Lord Nrisingadeva with his prayers. So up to text 39, we'll just give a little summary of what has gone already in these prayers. And the section, if Krishna allows, that we'll read today is an especially wonderful section. And it really, and in this section, become revealed, or Prabhupada actually reveals his own mood in prosecuting Krishna consciousness. Because his mood is very similar to Prahlad's, and Prabhupada's purports are very, very powerful in this way. So this is a very special section 39 to 44. But first, Prahlad, in the opening verses in this chapter, he explained he was going to pray to the Lord and he felt so unqualified. So the verses explain, or Prahlad explains, what are the actual qualifications for having one's prayers heard by the Lord and having satisfying the Lord by one's prayers. And the answer that he gives is basically humility and devotion. And then Prahlad continues saying that now you should give up your anger, dear Lord Nrisingadeva, because your purpose is fulfilled. You've come to protect the demigods who prayed for you, and now those personages who you wish to protect, who you came to protect, are afraid. So please, if you will just cool your anger down, then their fear will go away. But as for myself, Prahlad explains, the demigods are afraid of your angry feature, with your pointed ears and large mane that has blood sprinkled upon it, and your devastatingly loud roar, which is like thunder. The demigods are afraid, but I am not afraid. The only thing I fear is being in this material world. And the only remedy for that is your devotional service performed in the association of devotees, following in the Guru Parampara. Because in this world, there is no one who can protect anyone else other than you. Prahlad continues, explaining that every single thing in this world, every single person, is under the control of the modes of material nature. And the modes of material nature are controlled by the Lord. So everything ultimately is under the control of the Lord. And he does this through time. And he controls everything through his time feature. And Prahlad says, this time feature does not disturb you, because you are above the material world. You are above time. Actually, time is a shakti, or an energy, of the Paramatma feature of the Lord. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Kalosmin loka chaya krit. Time I am. Kalosmin. I am time. And through time I destroy everything in this world. And of course here we are, bumbling our way through life, not afraid of anything, trusting ourselves and our abilities. And Prahlad says, that I am afraid of time and you are above this. So therefore, since everything is under you and you um, You are you crush everything in this world through your time factor. Therefore, I don't desire anything in this world. I see the actual nature of it. I have experience of it. I saw that my father was so powerful, practically speaking, unlimitedly powerful in the world. But I saw that you crushed him. In one moment, everything that he had was finished. So I have experience. Therefore, I don't want anything in the material world. Nothing. All I want is to serve you through serving your pure devotees. So what exalted desires Prahlad had. Continuous. This was a singularity within his consciousness. There was no room for anything else. He had such incredible devotion. And then he explained further that there are so many wise people in this world, so many intelligent people, so many philosophers, learned people, but yet, due to their uncontrolled senses, despite their learning and despite their wisdom, they nevertheless fall victim to sense gratification. Due to their desire to enjoy. But here I am, the son of a great demon, and you've given me mercy, even though these wise people haven't gotten any mercy. You've given me mercy beyond even the mercy that you've given to Lakshmi Devi, Lord Shiva, and Lord Brahma. You've touched me. You've placed your hand upon my head. What is my qualification for this? I have no qualification. But then he explains, evam janam na prapati tam prabhavari kupam. But I will not give up the service of my Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni, because he has saved me. I was headed towards hell, following everyone else. Kamabhi kaman manuya prapatam prasangam, because of my desires. But he saved me, so soham kitam nuvrishaje tavabriti seva. How could I give up his service? So I can only think, my conclusion, Prahlad says, why you've given me so much mercy is because your devotee, Narada Muni, decided to bestow his blessings on me and guarantee my protection. Therefore, to fulfill your desire, the words of your devotee, you have given me so much mercy. There is no cause. I have no qualification for myself. He then explains in the verses that we heard on Wednesday that he explained the position of the Lord, how he is Karanadaksha Vishnu. He existed before anything in the world existed. Then he expands as Garbhadaksha Vishnu, the supersoul of the universe. Then he expands as the supersoul of every living entity of the material existence as Kiradaksha Vishnu. And then the Lord comes into this world in so many forms as avatars, and Leela avatars, and indeed Lord Nrisimhadeva is a Leela avatar. He's performing, his activities are specific activities that are his pastimes. And Lord Brahma, thinking about how the Lord is everywhere, achieved great bliss, he explains. And therefore you've come in this way as Leela avatars, and the hint, as Prahlad is going to explain now, is to give us something to talk about. Of course, there's yada yada hidomas yadvani abhavati parata. He comes when there is a decline of religion, and he wants to reestablish the principles of religion and to protect his devotee and to annihilate the miscreants. But also, the Lord comes to give us some Krishna katha to talk about. And that brings us up to the point of 39, where Prahlad is going to express, in these verses, he's going to express his desires and what he thinks the problem is. Because so often we're confronted with problems in life, but Prahlad is going to put his finger on exactly what the problem actually is. So he says, very humbly, Text 39, Canto 7, Chapter 9. My dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, Vaikuntha means where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? I'll read all these verses and then we'll go back and read Prabhupada's purports. So what is the problem, he says? Why can't I attain satisfaction from hearing about Krishna? Because Krishna Katha and Krishna's names, they are no different from Krishna. But I'm not satisfied. Why? Due to the nature of the mind, grasping at materialistic, selfish things. My dear Lord, O infallible one, this is text 40. My position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The literal meaning, I think it's sweet music. That's what Prabhupada explains in the word by words. Shravanam, by hearing music, sweet music. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification. And the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I'm certainly embarrassed. The mind is pulling based on the senses, which are all pulling in different directions, filling me with so many desires and attractions, causing me so much anxieties, so much anxiety. But my dear Lord, text 41, Prabhupada says, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. So on one hand, these desires and this mind has placed me on this side, the sinking side of the river of death. But you are on the other side. Mritya means death. Amrita means deathlessness. So Krishna is situated on the other side of nectarian deathlessness. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Reactions for trying to attain all those desires of the mind and the senses. Because of that, we are on this side, the mritya side of death. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon others who are suffering. So look at my position. I'm suffering so much, but not only me. So many every living entity is suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, Prahlada is requesting the Lord, deliver us and maintain us. Oh my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who can manage the affairs of the universe in delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You're managing the entire universe, so complicated. Not a blade of grass moves without your desire, and they move in season in a particular way, all shooting towards the sun. The leaves sprout in spring, they fall in winter, in autumn and winter. Weather changes, rain comes, clouds come, sun goes. Everything is being managed by you. You're so powerful. So what is the difficulty in delivering us who are engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity. And for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Magnanimity, generosity of spirit is one of the qualities, characteristics of someone who is to be considered great, and you're the greatest. So be merciful to we who are foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. So he's described this horrible material existence on this side of the ocean of death. Time crushing everything, everyone. But he says, I am not afraid. And Prabhupada in one of his purports is going to refer to this verse here. Tvad virya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. I am not afraid, even though I'm in this situation, this horrible situation. Why? For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So why is he praying? What is his concern? If he's not in any anxiety, if he's fearless, what does he want? My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. My dear Lord Nisringadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Monavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. What are they interested in? Delivering themselves to become free from this horrible material world which forces death upon everyone, willingly or not. As for me, I am different from these sadhus, these saints, who are interested in delivering themselves only. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. So that's the section. Now I'll go through it more slowly and hear Prabhupada's purports. First, Prahlad says that the cause of all the problems of a being in the material world is this grasping mind, which practically speaking brings us no satisfaction because it is filled with unlimited desires, one after another, desires to get something, desires to reject something else. And because of the passion within the mind and the ignorance within the mind, one doesn't experience satisfaction in hearing Krishna Katha. So the mind is the cause of the problem. So here's Prabhupada's purport. Here, Prahlad Maharaj represents himself as a common man, although he has actually nothing to do with this material world. So he's saying that the cause of my problems is the mind, but actually the cause of my problems is my mind, it's not his problems. Prahlad is always situated in the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual world, but on behalf of the fallen souls, he asks how, when his mind is always disturbed by material things, he can discuss the transcendental position of the Lord. So with a disturbed, grasping mind, distracted mind, how is it possible to become Krishna conscious? The mind becomes sinful because we are always engaged in sinful activities. Anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. So this is the ultimate definition of what is sinful and what is sinless. Sinfulness means that which entangles us in the material world. Krishna Bahimukh, activities that have turned their back on Krishna. Krishna, Bhule Se Jeev. Forgetting Krishna. Those activities that are centered around the mind and the false ego, all are sinful in the sense, regardless of whether they're pious or impious, they're sinful in the sense that they entangle us further in the material world. So this is the ultimate definition of what is sinful. So anything not connected with Krishna consciousness should be understood to be sinful. The mind becomes sinful because we were always engaged in sinful activities, things not connected with Krishna consciousness, selfish activities. Indeed, Krishna demands in the Bhagavad Gita 1866, Savadamam Pityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sava Papebhyo Mokshishami Ma Sutaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this is the most basic and that radical methodology. Radical means that it cuts to the root the actual problem, to the point of our selfishness based on the mind and false ego. As soon as one surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna immediately relieves one of the reactions of sinful activities. Therefore, one who is not surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord should be understood to be sinful, foolish, degraded among men, and bereft of all real knowledge because of atheistic propensities. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Namam Dushkritino Muda Prapadyante Naradama Mayaya Pita Gyana Masuram Bhavamashritam. Therefore, especially in this age of Kali, because everyone tends towards non-surrender, and therefore sinfulness, entanglement, further entanglement in the material world, therefore, especially in this age of Kali, the mind must be cleansed, because when it's grasping all the time, what's it grasping for? It's grasping for things that will entangle us in death and disease and old age. So it must be cleansed of the tendency, cleansed of the sinful tendencies, cleansed of the materialistic tendencies. And this is possible, this cleansing in Kali Yuga is possible only by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. In this age, the process of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the only method by which to cleanse the sinful mind. When the mind is completely cleansed of all sinful reactions, one can then understand his duty in the human form of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to educate sinful men so that they can become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this, Prabhupada here is explaining the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It is an educational movement to bring everyone up in consciousness, to remove the sinful tendency of the mind, to increase the piety, not the material piety, but the bhakti punya, the spiritual piety that will have us, which will attract us to Krishna. This is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. It's meant to educate sinful men so that they may become pious simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam Kalola Steva Nasteva Gatyane Atta. To cleanse the heart so that one may become sober and wise in this age of Kali, there is no value to any method other than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prahlad Maharaj has confirmed this process in previous verses. And then this, and then he, Prabhupada quotes, Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta. That's from that, that's a verse ahead, to that 43 verse. Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chitta. When Prahlad says that I have no worries about myself, I'm not in misery myself because I'm always engaged and absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very quality will purify one and keep one purified always. So this is the art, and this is a special offering of the Krishna consciousness movement of ISKCON, especially because it's very, very difficult in this age of Kali to renounce everything, because our minds are very, very sinful and distracted from Krishna and attracted to the material world, to renounce everything and just hear Krishna Katha and chant. But yet, if we don't become absorbed in hearing and chanting and glorifying Krishna, our mind will be distracted into so many other things. So somehow or another, we have to become absorbed in thinking about Krishna. So a special gift of Prabhupada in this regard, and it's not only his gift, it's the gift given to us by him, the gift of his spiritual master, and the gift of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the gift of the entire Guru Parampara, the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the gift of preaching. To somehow or another, we can use all our tendencies, our abilities, our nature, somehow or another use everything in Krishna's service, in the preaching mission. And that way, our mind can become cleansed and we can remember Krishna. Prahlad further confirms that if one's mind is always absorbed in thought of Krishna, that very qualification will purify one and keep one purified always. So that's the art, to always somehow or another remember Krishna, never forget him. This is the purpose of all the rules and regulations. Smartavyo satatam vishnu vishmartavyo na jatu chit sarva vidhi. All the rules and regulations. Vidhi nasheda. Don't do this, do this. Ete eva kinkara. They're all meant as servant. The purpose of all the rules and regulations, all the activities, are meant to have us always remember Krishna and never forget him. To understand the Lord and his activities, one must free his mind from all contamination of the material world, and this one can achieve by simply chanting the Lord's holy name. Thus one becomes free from all material bondage. Kirtaniya Sadahari Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended. Always chant the names of the Lord. If we can always chant the names of the Lord, always thinking of him, glorifying him, using our abilities and tendencies in his service, thinking that Krishna is engaging me in this particular way, we'll always remember him. And thus, Prabhupada concludes, one becomes free from all material bondage. Text 40. In this verse, Prahlad explains the embarrassment of the soul who is even trying to become a devotee, because each of the senses is pulling him in a different direction. In this way, Prahlad says, I'm certainly embarrassed. Prabhupada's purport. The human form of life is meant for God realization. But this process, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is disturbed as long as our senses are materially attracted. Therefore, devotional service means purifying the senses. In the conditioned state, our senses are covered by material sense gratification. And as long as one is not trained in purifying the senses, one cannot become a devotee. In our Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, we advise from the very beginning that one restrict the activities of the senses, especially the tongue, which is described by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as most greedy and unconquerable. To stop this attraction of the tongue, one is authoritatively advised not to accept meat or similar uneatable things, nor to allow the tongue to hanker to drink or smoke. Even the drinking of tea and coffee is not permitted. Similarly, the genitals must be restrained from illicit sex. Without such restraint of the senses, one cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. The only method of controlling the senses is to chant and hear the holy name of the Lord. Otherwise, one will always be disturbed, as a householder with more than one wife would be disturbed by them for sense gratification. So here are the prohibitions and the way to be able to adhere to the prohibitions, even though the tendency may be there, is to engage in the hearing and chanting, which is again the ultimate rule, to be always somehow or another absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Param dristvena bhaktite, the higher taste will keep us away from the lower items. Otherwise we can't advance. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu was asked about the activities or the character of the achara, the activities of a Vaishnava, his reply was asatsanga tyag, a Vaishnava char. And on the other side, sarusangi sarva shastra koi, lava matra sarusangi sarva siddhi koi. On one hand, don't associate with non-devotees, because the desires for enjoyment are so strong within the heart of non-devotees. We may have desires to enjoy, but we should be also cultivating the desire to serve Krishna and to love Krishna. But a person who has no spiritual sentiments, no devotional sentiments, has unlimited seeds of desires within the heart, and they're cultivating them. Their whole life is trying to satisfy those material desires, which are catching. Just like the dandelions, when they give their flowers, and then they give their seed pods, and then they burst, and then the wind comes along and the dandelion seeds go everywhere. So similarly, by associating intimately with non-devotees, the seeds of their desires go everywhere into our hearts. Wouldn't you like this? Boy, I'd sure like that. And this whole world is really just a field of association with non-devotees, with the advertising and this and that, all meant to simply plant material desires within our heart. So what can protect us from this? Practically speaking, we can't avoid associating with non-devotees unless we decide to close our eyes, close our ears, lock ourselves in a dark room continuously. So what is the protection? Humility, understanding that we're always in a precarious position in the material world, and knowing what our shelter is. And what is that shelter? The chanting of Krishna's names, the association of the devotees, sadhana bhakti, especially panchanga bhakti, the holy names, association with devotees, worshipping the deity, being in a holy place, the temple, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri, and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Without hearing, without engaging in these things are the water that makes the devotional kripa grow. So if we're in the world, we have to protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves by strong sadhana and by a Krishna conscious mind, by the holy names, keeping and humble, taking shelter without humility. We won't take shelter of Krishna if we don't understand, like Prahlad is saying, that our position is precarious. We won't take shelter of Krishna if we don't understand the weaknesses of our mind, and if we don't fear our own mind in that sense, we won't take shelter of Krishna. If we don't understand the grasping nature of the mind and fear that, we won't take shelter of Krishna. And then we get trapped in the material world. Prahlad continues, text 41. My dear Lord, now he's explaining that you are beyond. I'm here so embarrassed, being pulled so far, so deeply by my senses and mind. So he says that you are beyond the ocean of death. So please look upon me, and not only me, but all the other living entities in this world compassionately. We're so stuck into this suffering situation due to the mind, due to the false ego, due to this desire to enjoy, which is at the root of our material existence. So please, by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver we who are suffering and maintain us. So this dependence upon Krishna, who is beyond death, it is essential. So therefore, that is the essence of surrender, actually. Full dependence upon Krishna, placing ourselves under his protection. Prabhupada's purport, text 41. Prahlad Maharaj, a pure Vaishnava, prays to the Lord not only for himself, but for all suffering, other suffering living entities. There are two classes of Vaishnavas. So here Prabhupada starts revealing his mood. There are two classes of Vaishnavas, the Bhajanandis and the Gostianandis. The Bhajanandis worship the Lord only for their personal benefit. But the Gostianandis try to elevate all others to Krishna consciousness so that they may be saved. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of material life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next birth. So a person, and most people are like this, they don't perceive the sufferings of birth and death, that the whole material experience is practically speaking one that is of suffering, because of the very nature of the material world. So people just see the sufferings of life as things that have to be challenges and things that have to be moved out of the way so that one can finally enjoy. But of course it's not possible to move the material energy out of the way to enjoy, because the very nature of the material energy is suffering. So foolish people don't perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of material life. And they cannot be sure of what will happen to them in the next birth. So there's those foolish people who don't even understand the nature of the material world. But Narottama Das Thakur says, Janiya Shunya Vishakainu. That even Shunya means even after I've heard. So I'm not foolish like these people. I'm worse. Shunya, janiya, I know better and I have heard better, but still, vishakainu, I'm drinking poison in this material world and letting my mind go this way and that way, enjoying, trying to enjoy this and that. The Prabhupada isn't going to speak about that particular point, but it strikes me, janiya shunya vishakainu, what he's going to speak about. Fools who cannot perceive repeated birth and death and the other miseries of material life cannot be sure of what will happen to them in their next birth. So even though they don't perceive it, just like someone may not perceive the law of the country and just drive any way they want, But that won't stop them from getting caught by the government or the police department and fined and punished. So the foolishness does not, ignorance does not save one, because everyone is going to get a next birth. Indeed, these foolish, materially contaminated rascals have manufactured an irresponsible way of life that does not consider the next life. They do not know that according to one's own activities, one receives a body selected from 8,400,000 species. These rascals have been described in Bhagavad Gita as duskritino mudha, rascals and fools. Non-devotees, those who are not Krishna conscious, must engage in sinful activities. They must engage in sinful activities, and therefore they are mudas, fools and rascals. They are such fools that they do not know what will happen to them in their next life. Although they see varieties of living creatures eating abominable things, pigs eating stool, crocodiles eating all kinds of flesh, and so on, they do not realize that they themselves, because of their practice of eating all kinds of nonsense in this life, will be destined to eat the most abominable things in their next life. A Vaishnava is always afraid of such an abominable life. That's what Prahlad is saying. He said it many times. Actually, he said, Lord Nisringadeva, I don't fear you. I fear the material world. Who knows what will happen to me? So a Vaishnava is always afraid of such an abominable life. And to free himself from such horrible conditions, he engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate to them, and therefore he appears for their benefit. Yes, Lord Nisringadeva has appeared. Yada yada hidamasya glane bhavati bharata adbhutanam adamasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Bhagavad Gita 4:7. The Lord is always ready to help the fallen souls, but because they are fools and rascals, they do not take to Krishna consciousness and abide by the instructions of Krishna. Therefore, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally the Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes as a devotee to preach this Krishna consciousness movement. So Krishna says, Savanamam, surrender unto me, but no one is capable of fully surrendering unto Krishna. So the Lord himself comes to teach, just like a teacher sometimes writes when he practices A, B, C, D, E, F, G on the board, as if he was a student, as if he was learning it, but no, he's not learning, he's teaching. So Krishna comes as a devotee and shows us, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the actual activities of the soul, not in the material world, but in the eternal, deathless atmosphere, the blissful atmosphere. And that's called Chaitanya Charitamrita. The blissful activities of the soul in the realm of immortality. So the Lord comes because people do not surrender. Therefore, although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is personally the Supreme Lord Krishna, he comes as a devotee to preach the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada is stressing this activity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us what the Lord, how to act as a surrendered soul, and he's stressing preaching. And therefore he said, Prabhupada quotes, Yare deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh. One must therefore become a sincere servant of Krishna. Amara agyai guru hai tare desh. One should become a guru and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world simply by preaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So sometimes people say that Prabhupada didn't want, he never appointed gurus, any of his disciples to be gurus, but actually he wanted his disciples, his grand disciples, and their great great grand disciples to be gurus. Amara Agyai. This is the order. Amara Agyai Guru Hai Tare Desh. You become a guru and deliver this land, Tare Desh. Which land? Any land, your land, wherever you are. Teach others, present the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, spread Krishna consciousness. So this is really, Prabhupada is very directly explaining his own ecstasies here. The next verse. Prahlad says, because he's saying that, you please save us. You give us some mercy. You're beyond death. We are stuck, crushed by death. Please show your causeless mercy. You have the full capacity to deliver everyone. Please. Prabhupada's purport to text 42. Hear the words, Priya Janam Anusevatam Na, indicate that the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very favorable to devotees who act according to the instructions of his own pure devotee. In other words, one must become the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. If one wants to become the servant of the Lord directly, this is not as fruitful as engaging in the service of the Lord's servant. This is the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who shows us the way to become Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Nodasa. One should not be proud of becoming directly the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather, one must seek a pure devotee, a servant of the Lord, and engage oneself in the service of such a servant. The more one becomes the servant of the servant, the more one becomes perfect in devotional service. This is also the injunction of Bhagavad Gita. Evam parampara praptam imam rajasyo vidu. One can understand the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by the parampara system. In this regard, Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas. Let me serve the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, and let me live with devotees. Janame, janame hoy, e abilas. This is my desire, birth after birth. Following Narottama Das Thakur, one should aspire to be a servant of the Lord's servant, life after life. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings, Tumita Thakur, Tomara Kukur, Balaya Janaha More. O my Lord, O Vaishnava, please consider me your dog. So see how Prabhupada's, or the philosophy that is developing of Prahlad's prayers and Prabhupada's expansion, explanation of them, explaining that you, to serve, you perform devotional service and Krishna will take care of you and protect you from the ocean of death. But how to do that? Not by serving the Lord directly, but by becoming the servant of the servant of the Lord. Krishna Setomar, Krishna Dite Para. Krishna is the property of his pure devotee, and if we take shelter of a pure devotee, he can deliver Krishna very easily. Prahlad wants to engage in the service of a devotee, and therefore he prays to Krishna, My dear Lord, kindly give me the shelter of your very dear devotee, so that I may engage in his service, and you may then be pleased. Madbhakta Pujabhya Dikara, Bhagavatam 11:19-21, the Lord says, Engaging in the service of my devotee is better than trying to engage in my devotional service. Another significant point in this verse is that by devotional service, Prahlad Maharaj does not want to benefit alone. Rather, he prays to the Lord that all of us fallen souls in this material world may, by the grace of the Lord, engage in the service of his servant and thus be delivered. The grace of the Lord is not at all difficult for the Lord to bestow, and thus Prahlad Maharaj wants to save the whole world by spreading Krishna consciousness. And then Prahlad explains that he himself has no difficulties because he's always thinking of the Lord. Because thinking of the Lord is the only secure position the constant thinking of him. Chaitasya sava kamani mayasam yasmat para. Bhaktyamam abhijananti. Always think of me and become my devotee. This is actually the secure position. So he says that he himself has no concern for his own welfare because he's always thinking about the Lord, but his concern is for only those who are trapped in the material world. Why? Due to their desire to enjoy. We'll read part of Prabhupada's purport, the second half. There is a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mamamaya Durateya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, Durateya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in the material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools, the best of fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy. Whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who made elaborate plans to be happy in the material world. So compassion means experiencing for oneself the pains of another. So due to Prahlad's compassion, he was experiencing pain, although he himself had no pain. And then the last verse and purport. Prahlad explains how great saintly persons often go to secluded places to save themselves, but he, his mood was very different. He did not wish to just save himself, but he wished to bring everyone back to Godhead. He did not want to go back alone. So Prabhupada, this was so much Prabhupada's mood. Such a preacher, such a general to lead a movement, to inspire a movement, to organize a movement that would spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And here is Prabhupada's purport. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems. Even if he has to stay in this material world, indeed, Mahaprabhu has said, Janmani, Janmani, Shrey, Bhavad, Bhakti, Rai, Teki, Tai, not even desiring liberation. Because the Vaishnava, the devotee, he's always thinking of Krishna, and that brings such ecstasy to the heart. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in the material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can even go to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Naivod vijay paradurattaya vaitaranya. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. Practically, he's not in material existence because he's always in Krishna consciousness in his relationship with Krishna. I'm not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Narayana paraksave nakutastana bibhyati svagabhavaga narakeshu apitulyate darshana. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell. but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment, and jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or in the forest or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very much advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj says clearly, Nanyam twarasya saranam brahmato anupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life, but by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness, and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna one cannot be happy. Thus the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Sri Nrisimhadeva ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityananda Prabhu Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.